Benintendi hits it into right field. Here comes Witt around third. Garcia's got a good arm. Witt is going to be safe.
Well, Merrifield scoring the first run of the ball game last night. Royals with the 1-0 lead in the eighth. Added another run. 2-0 is the final. Chris Bubich, who apparently wasn't good enough to start for the Royals, instead go with the guy that never pitched above A ball, Daniel Lynch, one of the top prospects. All Bubich did was throw zeros out of the bullpen. Finally got a chance to start, and what do you know? Did a pretty good job in place of Danny Duffy. 6 innings of scoreless baseball from Chris Bubich last night. And when you get good starting pitching, isn't it amazing? Your chances of winning go way up. Bubich, one hit over 6 innings, walked 2, struck out 4. His ERA is under 1 for the year. He got a no decision. Scott Barlow, 1 inning of relief. Zuber, Tyler Zuber, 2 outs there in the 7th. And then check that, that had finished out the 8th or close to it. Then Brents came on for 1 out. And then Staumont came in for the save with 2 strikeouts and an inning pitched. And the Royals get the win 2-0. Brewers only 3 hits, and they had 3 errors in the game as well as the Royals win, helped out by some shoddy defense by the Brewers. Good pitcher's duel. Brandon Woodruff went 7 2/3 for Milwaukee, but the Royals able to take advantage in the 8th. Whit Merrifield's 2-out walk. Carlos Santana's hit by pitch, and then you heard Benintendi's RBI single driving in Whit. Chris Bubich has now run his scoreless inning streak to 17 2/3. That matches Rich Hill for the second longest active run in the majors. It's also the longest scoreless stretch for a KC pitcher within one season since Brad Keller did it at the very beginning of the 2020 season last year. And then reliever Wade Davis went 22 scoreless innings back in 2015 when the Royals won the World Series. The Royals win 2-0 last night over the Brewers. Lorenzo Cain made his return to Kansas City and certainly received a nice ovation. Salvador Perez with a big bear hug for him. Royals are now 19-22, and that win last night snapped a 7-game home losing streak. Mike Matheny, manager of the Royals, on Bubich's performance.
That's really what we've seen almost every time out so far. He's doing such a great job of using everything, very unpredictable, making big counts, you know, a couple different times, full count, being able to throw a strike with the changeup. And they made him respect the fastball by making good pitches. He wasn't giving up a lot of plate with it, and used the breaking ball a little bit more today, and it was sharp when he needed it and got some big swings and misses. But, you know, he's just in a real good rhythm, and I think you can see the big difference is he's just not overthrowing. He's trusting his stuff. He's not trying to pick, not trying to reach back for any extra, but it's got plenty of life, especially when he starts mixing his off speed. It was just a beautiful display of pitching.
Royals back in action tonight. Short 2-game series with the Brew Crew of Milwaukee. And the Royals in action tonight. They'll face Corbin Burnes, the kid that set a record here with 58 strikeouts versus no walks to start the year. He finally did walk a man. So that'll be a good challenge for the Royals tonight as Brad Keller will be on the hill for KC. His last start was certainly better than many of his starts earlier in the year. Danny Duffy is on the IL, and Danny Duffy had a press conference yesterday, which was kind of weird because once you heard that, you're like, oh my gosh, what kind of announcement do we have? Is this bad? Is he having surgery? Is he done for the year? Tommy John, whatever. Here is Duffy on his injury in the weird little press conference.
I tried to wait as long as I could without putting the team in the bullpen in a hole. You know, I was pretty confident I could make a start today, but pretty confident for me is probably a lot different than a lot of people. And, you know, I tried to play catch and I just couldn't get loose. And then, you know, told Nick, our head athletic trainer, that felt like we could really benefit from getting some pictures taken of it. Honestly, I was really thankful for the news that it wasn't something worse. So I'll be back in no time. Just going to sit for about 5 days and then reassess. It's just one of those things that happen. And fortunately for me, and it's not anything too serious. So just got to get it to calm down and then we'll get going.
So Danny Duffy on the IL, and Alberto Mondesi is now a triple A, so he's getting closer to making his debut this year, the 25-year-old shortstop for the Royals. And the Royals announced they're going to go to full capacity on May 31st, but I don't see it in the story here, but I did see somebody post on social media that the outfield experience was not going to be open, but they're going to have full capacity with the crowd. Did you hear anything about the outfield experience?
I did not see the outfield experience part.
Okay, so that I don't know if that's for sure or not, but in regards to not being open for the kiddos, because that's really what makes that pretty awesome for the kids and the family, because the kids, let's be honest, sometimes get bored and want to do stuff. Mm-hmm. I know how that works, and it makes complete sense. So don't know for sure on that, but do know that full capacity starting May 31st, and that you won't have to wear a mask. It doesn't appear either. So if you masks no longer for required for vaccinated fans, face coverings are still recommended for non-vaccinated fans. So now it's about the honor code, basically trusting people. It is funny how people are some people are freaking out. Like, well, I mean, how are you gonna know? I mean, like, people can lie, people can do this, and they can do that. Dude, you trust people when they make your food. You don't know if they spit in it or do something. You trust them. You don't know if they cough, sneezed into your hamburger. You have no idea. I mean, you trust them. They're just, at some point, you got to trust people. At some point, there's not going to be a camera on every single person to know whether or not they're vaccinated or not. It is going to be the honor system. That's the best you can do, and you go from there. So, I mean, there's no way to have absolute guarantees in life. That just doesn't happen that way.
No.
There's just nothing like that. More baseball news on the way. A Major League Baseball star out due to injury, and the crazy story of a manager who is very unhappy with his player for hitting a home run the other night. It's a very cool story, I think. Funny. NBA play-in games, Stanley Cup playoffs, and focus on K-State Athletics coming up here in a moment. But local sports, we have some softball today. Weather is causing that to be moved around a little bit time-wise, and so Dusty will take over with the local angle.
Yeah, softball 3A regional semis and finals have been moved to Barton County today from Larned that Blood is competing in. So new schedule has also been moved up an hour. So the first game will have the number 5 seed Ellsworth taking on top seed Russell Victoria at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And then Beloit's the number 3 seed at 17-4 against the 2 seed Hoisington Central Plains, also 17-4. That'll be now approximately 2:30, probably a little bit after that. We'll just see how that first game goes. But that's what they have on the bracket anyway, approximately 2:30 start. And then the winners will play in the championship game, the winners of those two semifinals. They're in Great Bend at approximately 4 o'clock here this afternoon. Beloit looking for their second state tournament appearance in school history. They made it a couple of years back, and then obviously last year was canceled due to COVID, the whole spring sports season. So they look to get back there to the state tournament, and if they can do that, it would be in Manhattan coming up next weekend. So looking forward to seeing how the Beloit Lady Trojans can do today in the 3A regional tournament. Again, that is now in Great Bend at Barton Community College facilities. If you're headed down there here today, and again, Beloit will start an hour earlier than originally anticipated, approximately 2:30 with their semifinal game. Also today in 3A regional at Heston, Smoky Valley taking on Southeast of Saline, and Hillsborough Peabody Burns against Haven. Also 3A regional semifinals taking place in baseball today. The one that Beloit was originally in, again eliminated in the first round, so the top seed Larned takes on TMP La Crosse at 2 o'clock today, and then Minneapolis from the NCAA is still alive there in that 3A regional at TMP. Minneapolis will take on Hoisington Central Plains in the other semifinal here today. And then Southeast Saline still alive as well. 3A regional semis at Council Grove taking on Osage City at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And Concordia plays their first game of the 4A regional semifinals coming up this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Concordia will take on Augusta in Clay Center. So that's a look at what's going on as far as regional sports are concerned for today. Full brackets for all the regional baseball and softball can be found at ncksports.com. Concordia, by the way, yesterday in 4A regional saw their season come to a close with an 8-0 loss to Augusta there in Pratt. So Concordia softball team has finished for the season after yesterday. You can also find all the other postseason assignments and results so far at ncksports.com.
Regional track and field reports coming up on Friday beginning at 3 o'clock, every half hour after that. Brought to you by our sponsors who make all that possible for you. All right. Last night, another no-hitter in Major League Baseball.
Career, he went 3-17 in the 19th season. Here comes the 0-2 pitch to Mitch Haniger. Swing and a foul tip. Spencer Turnbull is thrown, a no-hitter here in Seattle. The 8th no-hitter by a Detroit Tiger. And the second time in 14 days the Mariners have been no-hit here at home.
Well, I think you look at the game plan for him. We knew that he was going to have the good fastball, use his slider, his best pitch. But the main thing for me, Dan, is he worked ahead the entire game. First pitch strike after first pitch strike.
Spencer Turnbull, who the Royals faced earlier this year and absolutely blasted. Spencer Turnbull walked out of the bullpen last night feeling horrible. He had a shaky pregame warm-up, and then he stepped onto the mound, and a few hours later he was being slammed in the face with shaving cream and doused in water, beer, and baby powder as his teammates mobbed him. On the grass at T-Mobile Park there in Detroit, Spencer Turnbull, who just a couple years ago, his record was 3-17. That's right. He lost 17 of 20 decisions. The 28-year-old right-hander tossed the fifth no-hitter of the Major League season as he baffled the Mariners in the 5-0 win. Pretty amazing stuff. The five no-hitters through May 18th matched the 1917 season for the most in baseball history by that date. And two of the five no-hitters so far this year have been thrown against the Seattle Mariners, two in a 14-day span. And Turnbull's the first pitcher not named Justin Verlander to throw a no-hitter for Detroit since Jack Morris did it in 1984. Here's another crazy stat. Turnbull had never gone more than seven innings in any of his previous 49 starts in his career. And then, boom, no-hitter. Pretty amazing stuff. He struck out nine, walked two, and threw 117 pitches. 77 were for strikes, and he ends up getting a no-hitter. And it's pretty interesting stuff, too, because the record in the modern era for the amount of no-hitters in a season is seven. And we already have five, and we're not even to the end of May. And you thought the Royals offense was struggling? The Seattle Mariners as a team, their batting average is 199. Right now, we've played 25% of the season.
Yeah.
The Mariners team batting average is 199. Not one guy. It's a team.
That's what that's one of the kids would say, big yikes, right?
Like, that's big yikes.
That's wow.
That's wow. Exactly right. Mike Trout, probably the best all-around player in the game and one of the highest-paid players. He is out 6 to 8 weeks with a calf strain. It is pretty amazing. Ohtani's hitting rockets out of the park for the Angels. Trout's a tremendous player. Ohtani leads the league in home runs. He also can pitch pretty effectively. He hit a 448-foot shot the other day. And the Angels still have one of the worst records in the American League with two of the best all-around players. It's just, it really is. Just goes to show you, pitching's important.
Mm-hmm.
Tony La Russa, if you didn't know, is back in the major leagues as manager of the Chicago White Sox. Of course, he used to be the manager of the White Sox years ago, and of course, the manager of the Cardinals. And it's a pretty crazy story. Monday night's baseball game between the Twins and the White Sox, Yermin Mercedes blasted a 429-foot home run. The ninth inning homer was the standout rookie's sixth homer of the season. The homer came on a 3-0 pitch. A pitch that was 47 miles per hour from a position player, Willens Astillo, from the Twins because the game was completely a blowout. And it triggered a few fans hanging on to the unwritten rules of the game. Didn't we just recently talk about that? The White Sox up 15-4 in the ninth. Apparently, Mercedes was supposed to stop trying. Yeah, his manager... The manager of the guy that hit a 3-0, 47-mile-per-hour batting practice pitch from a utility player over the fence, the home run garnered disapproval from his own manager, and he's a Hall of Famer. Tony La Russa telling reporters that the 3-0 homer upset him because Mercedes was supposed to take a pitch. La Russa said, and I quote, he made a mistake. There will be a consequence he has to endure here within our family. Okay. So, La Russa dug a little further into his stance. He says, I heard he said something like in regards to Fernando Tatis when he had a 3-0 count grand slam and a blowout. He said, I play the game. No, he doesn't. He plays the game of Major League Baseball, respects the game, respects the opponents, and he's got to respect the signs. That's what Tony La Russa said. La Russa, of course, is old school. And remember Tim Anderson did lots of bat flipping, hitting home runs and doing stuff, did it to the Royals. And that caused a problem with the Royals and the White Sox. And then Tim Anderson, people were like, oh my, Tony La Russa coming in, how's that going to work? And apparently, no problem. They had a meeting. Things went fine. Anyway, the White Sox ended up winning the game 16-4 was the final. And last night, the Twins, in the seventh inning, one of their pitchers, when Mercedes came to the plate in the seventh inning, threw a pitch about 5 feet behind Mercedes. Didn't really even try to hit him, just like a message. And of course, he immediately got thrown out of the game. And this is where stupidity reigns in baseball. I'm sorry. It's time to move on and, you know, evolve into the new age. And if you are old school, fine. But this whole, when a guy hits a home run, now we throw at him. Here's an idea. Get him out. That's the best revenge. What? I've never quite figured it out. I'm going to show you by putting you on base. Well, wow, you got me. Ooh, you're going to hurt me with a fastball. And sometimes it can. And if your purpose is to hurt, then that's really out of line.
Yeah.
So, Trevor Bauer went on Twitter last night. I'm starting to really love Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer, who's an outstanding pitcher for the Dodgers, Cy Young Award winner last year with the Reds, and he gave up a 3-0. He gave up a home run to Fernando Tatis earlier this year, and Tatis had fun on the bases, and Trevor Bauer says, I have no problem with it. Got to get the guy out. Here's what Bauer put on Twitter last night after hearing all about Tony La Russa unhappy with his own player for hitting a home run because apparently you're supposed to stop trying. Dear hitters, if you hit a 3-0 homer off of me, I will not consider it a crime. Dear people who are still mad about a hitter hitting, kindly get out of our game. Can't believe we're still talking about 3-0 swings. If you don't like it, managers or pitchers, just be better. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. At all. What is this? Slow pitch beer softball league? I mean, a guy comes in. It's a Major League Baseball game. He throws a 47-mile-an-hour lob pitch, and you're supposed to just take it. And what happens if the guy strikes out? That's embarrassing. You have pride as a hitter, right? I granted 3-0. I guess he could have taken the pitch. But
my
golly,
it's 3-2.
Like,
they wouldn't have given him the sign take.
I'm going to say not a take on 3-2. Yeah. So I'm like, dude, your eyes light up like a Christmas tree when you see a fat ball coming in. And guess what? Guys get paid on incentives and getting certain stats. And he's his first year, full year in the league. He's 28. He's having a really good rookie campaign, Mercedes. I don't blame it at all for swinging. And Tony La Russa is, he's, you know, it's fine. He's old school. So the old school fans think, Tony La Russa understands the game. He gets it. He respects the game. To me, you know what's really disrespecting about the game is throwing a non-pitcher into a Major League Baseball game. To me, that's disrespectful. You're sitting here going, it's disrespectful to try to hit a home run off a position player who came in the ninth inning of a blowout. To me, what's disrespectful of the game is not putting a real pitcher to finish a game. Where's the angst about that? Like, what's next? Pull a fan out of the stands and throw a couple of pitches because you don't have any pitchers left? I mean, I get why you throw a position player out there to finish it out, but we have seen Jose Canseco did it, and he hurt his arm. Mm-hmm. So is it really smart to do that? No. Usually you pick a guy that isn't that important to the team, which is kind of a slap in their face, although, hey, I pitched two innings in high school one time. I guess I'll throw a major league pitch. But isn't that a mockery of the game? Because that's what we're hearing about, right? It's respecting the game, and when you strut, and when you do these things on the base paths, and you over-celebrate, if there's such a term, you're not respecting the game, or I've heard you're making a mockery of the game, you're insulting the game. Isn't it insulting when a guy that's never pitched in the big leagues comes out to throw a 47-mile-an-hour pitch? I mean, what is this, beer league softball? It's not. So to me, that's where the ink should be to start with. And nobody even questions that. How is that not a mockery of the game?
Yeah.
A guy that never pitches comes in a blowout, and what? What's the other team supposed to do? You know what? Don't even step into the batter's box. Just let him throw it. Go up there without a bat. I mean, if you're a Major League Baseball hitter, what is your job? What are you paid to do? You're paid to hit no matter who's out there. And let me tell you something. If I was at the plate and it was a 3-0 pitch and I saw a fat one and I had a take sign and I knew I was comfortable to stay on the team, of course, if I was barely hanging by a thread, I probably would have followed it and taken the pitch. But I'm like, if I'm a good enough player, I probably would have swung too. And I might have swung and missed, embarrassed myself, or I might have hit it out of the park, whatever. But I don't blame Mercedes for swinging. And he hit a home run. Good for him. And if the Twins don't like it, then first of all, one, don't put a position player to finish the game. Two, be better. You give up 16 runs. I mean, I agree with Trevor Bauer. Be better.
Oh, yeah. That's,
and there's no rule in baseball that says, there's no rule in baseball, no written rule in baseball that says you take a 3-0 pitch when a position player is throwing in the ninth inning of a 13-4 game. There is nothing in the rules. Oh, wait a minute. It's unwritten rules. Oh, stop it. Just stop it. Baseball, you're embarrassing yourself more and more with these stupid, idiotic, dumb, unwritten rules. It's insulting to people that are smart. I mean, you got players now, and they're coming around and being more and more outspoken. We heard Noah Syndergaard, Trevor Bauer. If the players don't have a big problem with it, then let's move on.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. I think it was only a talking point until last night when they threw at him, right?
Right.
But during the day yesterday,
they weren't even trying to hit him. They were way behind.
Yeah. During the day yesterday, it was only a talking point because his own manager said he shouldn't have done it, right?
Which, if he wouldn't have said a word, I don't know if anything would even happen.
I don't think a whole lot of people would even been. I'm not worried about it as a fan. I wouldn't probably be worried about it as a player for the Twins. In my mind, maybe I would. Maybe I'd have somebody get in my ear and change my mind about it. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, the only issue is that he disobeyed a sign for me. I mean, that's the only thing I can even think of that was even remotely wrong about it. I have no issue with him swinging the bat and hitting a home run, but I mean, if you dive into it and see if there's any little inkling of a problem with it, is that he didn't obey what the coach told him to do.
That, I mean, that really, honestly, that should be the bigger issue.
Yeah, that's the only issue in my mind.
If he knew saw the take sign, and he still swung and hit, he defied his coaches.
Yeah.
So to me, that really should be the bigger issue.
Yeah. And I'm going to guess that's Tony La Russa probably didn't say it like he meant.
Because he doesn't like some of this new stuff.
He doesn't like that.
So this is his way of making a point or a statement.
And so now it's like, well, we gave the sign to take.
Right.
And he's disobeying what the coaches are telling him to do.
Right.
And it still is a structure, a hierarchy of what you need to do out on the field, right?
Right.
Now, again, that's something I feel like you probably should just take care of in-house, and not make it a big deal. But this is me.
And listen, there is, and I got a text, agree, unwritten rules are very stupid, but wasn't the deal kind of like putting the JV kids in at the end of a game, essentially conceding it's over? See, I don't think that's a good comparison, and here's why. These men, not boys, not teenagers, not peewee baseball players, these are men that are paid professionally to do their job. There is no JV team. They have a 25-man roster. Every one of those guys is not a JV player. They are professional. They're not minor leaguers. They're Major League Baseball players. So even if you put a position player in on the mound, are you conceding the game's over? Well, yeah, you are. You are.
Well,
obviously. Yeah. Of course, aren't you conceding the game's over when you bring in a guy that has an ERA over 8? Aren't you conceding the game's over when you bring in a guy to make his major league debut when you're down 10-0 and you don't put one of your best pitchers out there? I mean, we already know you're conceding. Does that mean guys quit trying and don't swing the bat? Of course not.
No.
And it's completely a different thing. Like in football, like if you have high school football, junior high football, it can be basketball. It can be really be any sport. It can be baseball. But I'm talking at the high school and lower level, and even college too. These guys aren't pros, right? So there is JV kids that may get the play in a blowout. And when one team, whether they're way behind or way ahead, puts in the JV kids, then. And it's not a rule. I understand it's not a rule, but it is usually the other team then says, okay, it's our turn to put our kids in there. Now, there are some coaches that don't do that at the high school level. And, you know, the team puts in freshman kids, and the one team keeps their juniors and seniors out there, and that's not fair to the other team that's already conceding. They're down 40-0, and they're putting in their little kids. And the other coach really should do that, although technically there is no rule that says he has to, okay? But the difference is that is not professional sports. Those kids are not paid to play, all right? And I remember a coach one time that I knew that his football team was crushing the other team, and he was upset afterwards because the other team didn't put in their subs. And it's like, hello, you're the one that needs to make the first move. You're the one annihilating them. Do you really think they're going to put their freshmen in? They want to know that you're taking out your big boys, and then they'll put their guys in. It's not the team that's way behind that should probably be the first one to do that. Whatever. Once again, technically, not in the rules, and I've been making fun of unwritten rules. But it is a whole different game. I mean, Major League Baseball, there's a 25-man roster. They're not calling a guy up in the middle of the game and saying, hey, bring me up a single-A pitcher real quick because I need a guy to get three outs. We're down 16-4. And that would be basically a JV guy, guy that's not ready to go. That's just not it. These guys are all paid. It's like in the NFL, I get tired of NFL guys whining about how they're getting blown out and don't like it when a team throws on third down and five and they're up 28-0. You know what? You're pros. You're paid to stop them. And if you don't like it, stop them. And here's the thing. Well, that's unsportsmanlike. That's rubbing it in, da, 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 da. Well, here's an idea. Utilize every game snap that you have. Perhaps that's a play that that team wants to run to have a look for later in the year, and it's a chance to not simulate in practice. It's in a game situation, third and five, because later in the year it might be 28-21, and on third and five we have to convert, and we're going to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can see something here on film instead of against our scout team in practice. I think there are benefits to running certain plays, even when you're way ahead. But I'm talking about professional sports versus amateur sports. And that's what amateur sports is. I mean, obviously, it's anything below professional sports is amateur sports. Now, some college athletes are maybe getting paid under the table, so maybe they're not so amateur as much. But the point being is that every single guy on an NFL football team, every single guy on a Major League Baseball team, every single guy on an NBA basketball team, every single guy on an MLS soccer team, and I can go on, are professionals. They are paid to play the game. They're not paid to play 8 1/3 innings. They're paid to play the whole game.
If you put me out there, okay, I'm going to play.
Right.
So tell Mercedes, is that his name again?
Yeah, Yasmin Mercedes.
Mercedes, Sox, I thought that was his last name.
Right.
So if La Russa doesn't like it, take him out of the game. He's paid to play the game.
That's right. You're the manager in charge. Bench him the next game.
Why not just
bench him the next game?
Pinch hit
he didn't.
Yeah, it's like, why not just pinch hit for everybody on your team?
Well, yeah, right. Why did you send him up to the plate in the first place? Yeah. You had other guys that could have pinch hit. I mean, yes, you could do that. But well, if you really want to send a message, you're so upset about it, which is, I think it's baloney what he's telling everybody.
Yeah.
I think it's just his way of making a statement that he doesn't like how the game's going because he's almost 80 years old, and that's fine. He has a right to that opinion, but he's old school. The game's changed, and it's passed him by in some cases. But, you know, all you have to do is bench the guy next game. Yasmin Mercedes was in the lineup last night.
Yeah.
So big message you sent there. You defied my call. I told you to take. I'm upset. I tell the media. And the next night, I got you penciled in as my number four hitter.
Yeah, it's like he's going to suffer consequences within our
what
family. And I'm like, I wonder what it was because he's playing. Like,
he doesn't get to bring beer in the clubhouse anymore? What's the consequence? He can't eat candy bars in the locker room? Like, what's really the consequence? I mean, come on. It's a whole bunch of hooey. It's all a bunch of horse pucky. It's a whole bunch of talk by a manager that, yes, he probably sat down with Yasmin Mercedes and said, hey, dude, next time you defy my orders, because I am the guy in charge, you will be on the bench. It probably was one of those verbal reprimands. You know, the old reprimand from the Big 12 Conference. Well, you were yelling at the officials. Shame on you. We won't fine you or suspend you. So shame on you with a written reprimand. Ooh, that really has got me quaking in my boots. Oh, boy, I learned my lesson that time. But there is a major difference. I'm like, if you talk about something happening at the high school level or college level, it's not at all the same compared to the pros. And that's my opinion, and it's very simple. What's the distinction? These guys are paid. These guys are paid.
Yeah.
Performers. They are paid. And so, I'm sorry, if I go to a game as a fan, do you really think I want to sit there and watch a utility guy who's a position player come in and throw in the ninth inning and watch all the guys come to the plate just take every pitch? Do you really think that's what I paid to see? I paid to see runs. I paid to see homers. I paid to see a full nine innings of professional baseball. And yes, some games become blowouts. Some games are just, you know, it's not very fun. It's over early. I've been to games like that. But they're still professional ball players. They're supposed to still try. They're supposed to still play it all the way out. And like I said, I think the bigger issue here that Tony La Russa really isn't fully explaining is that the issue he's really upset with probably is you didn't listen to what I told you to do.
Yeah.
Because if he hits a single, is La Russa making a stink about this?
Not likely.
I highly doubt it.
Yeah.
Highly doubt it. Not publicly. So, aren't you kind of tired of this? I mean, just the whole unwritten rule
I'm tired
thing.
Of it needing to be a story, I'll tell you
right.
that. Like,
it's like every nice. Day somebody's feelings are hurt.
Do with it. Like I just, yeah, it's unwritten rules. I think everybody knows by now if they listen to this show, we think they're ridiculous. And they right. don't mean anything because they're unwritten. They're not rules.
Right.
And so, but yeah, I mean, why does this have to be an issue? But again, I feel like Tony La Russa is the one that made it an issue, right? Like,
he did.
His own manager. Like, I don't even think it would have even been an issue if he didn't even talk about it.
I don't
it.
Even
like,
know if the, twin, I don't even know if the Twins were even thrown at him, yeah. to be honest with you. Another one, 162-game season, game is over. In this situation, is it okay to say, hey, let's go home, let's not get anyone hurt, live to fight another day? I understand that point, but if that's the case, then let's just call the game over. Let's have a run rule. Because, listen, that utility guy, even though he's not a pitcher, like I said, Jose Canseco did it years ago. He came in and he messed up his arm.
Well, and then that's why you get the other side of that, where this utility guy that came in is only throwing 47. He's not going to throw gas because right. he doesn't want to hurt himself.
Right. Well, but what happens is a line drive and it hits him in the kneecap, breaks his kneecap.
Yeah, I mean, you can still get hurt in a different way.
What happens
way?
If he throws a pitch and it hits the guy in the head, even though it's, you know, 47 miles per hour? I mean, any weird thing can happen.
Yeah.
What? I mean, let's go a little further. The guy swings and the bat comes back and it hits the catcher on a backswing and knocks him out and gives him a concussion. I mean, where do we draw the line here?
Yeah.
I mean, you're sitting here and you're saying the game is over. Then, okay, I agree with it. You know, I think this person makes an interesting point. We have running clocks. We have mercy rules in sports, right? Not in professional sports. We don't have run rules. We don't have running clocks in sports, in professional sports, which I think as fans, we don't want that anyway. So if that's the case, then they owe it to the people that are paying to either – you know, pay their cable bill to watch TV, pay a subscription fee to MLB TV, pay parking that's out of this world for NFL game, and then they pay for a ticket and go into a game. Shouldn't they be entitled to get a full game where people are actually playing a full game? So you don't want to see a run rule, okay? But if you're really talking about, well, isn't it okay to just say, hey, the game's over and let's not get anybody hurt, you know the best way to do that? Once the game was 14-4 the other night, run rule. 10-5 is what it is in high school baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Just go ahead and call it good in the pros. If you're down 10-7 or 8, game over. No need to battle last time. I mean, if you're really, really worried about people getting hurt, that's the best way. Because just because a team waves a white flag and a guy comes in throwing 52 miles an hour, that doesn't mean a guy still can't get hurt. The guy can get hurt running hard to first base when he hits a ground ball to short and pulls a hammy. I mean, a guy could go try to make a catch in the outfield and turn his ankle. I mean, and like, where do we end with it? Like, if the point of doing what this team did the other night, the Twins bringing in a guy when they're down 13-4, the point is not to get anybody hurt, then why don't they just go ahead and walk off the field and say it's good? If you're so worried, I mean, at least the NBA has the guts to not play through we know it's load management. They're feeding us a line of bullpucky. They're at least under saying, listen, I'm not. Ty Lue just said the other day he was criticized for not playing Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and lost to two of the worst teams in the NBA, and they went from a 3 seed to a 4 seed, which maybe helps them in the bracket. And he says, I don't care what anybody else says because my job is to make sure my team is healthy. Now, I could go one step further there. Those guys are paid, and you got fans paying money, and they come and watch the non-stars. However, Ty Lue is right. Why do I need to put Kawhi Leonard and Paul George out there for 1 minute and make a mockery of the game and then pull them out just so that they actually played? No. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. They ain't playing tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm resting them. I'm ready to go. But what we're doing here in Major League Baseball is we're playing out the string. And, yes, everybody knows the game's over. Are they conceding it's over when they put in a guy that doesn't pitch like they did the other night? Absolutely. But what do we need to do? Have, like, some kind of conference and say, okay, man, I'm bringing in my utility guy. Let's have an agreement. Truce. Don't swing the bat anymore. Okay? We're just going to throw the pitch over the plate and finish this thing. Then you might as well just get off the field and call it good.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen. And listen, if I'm a competitor, whether I'm down 13-4, up 13-4, whatever it may be, until the final out, I got to at least think I have a chance. And
absolutely.
And there have been teams that have come back from crazy crazy deficits, okay? In the pros, recently, community college baseball, Hutch was down 7 runs, 14-7, in the bottom of the ninth. They were down 14-7. Oh, it's over, right? Just concede it. Hand it over. They scored 8 and won the game. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that was college, but we've seen it happen in pro before. Rarely does it happen. I get that. But if we're worried about the mockery of the game, the violation of unwritten rules, or we're sitting here saying, well, the team's conceding because they brought in a utility guy, and I get that. I do get it. You bring a utility guy to pitch, you're saying, you know, listen, we're just trying to play out the string and call it good. I get it. But to expect the other team with a whole bunch of individuals, and individually you go to the plate, you're looking to fatten your average. You're looking to, I mean, baseball, and a lot of sports, but baseball in particular, has a lot of performance incentives in their contracts that are individual stats. Mm-hmm. Why do you think these guys still try to an extent on bad teams late in the year? They've got, if I get so many at-bats or plate appearances, I get a $50,000 bonus. If I hit so many home runs, so many RBIs. I mean, for crying out loud, everybody made a big deal last year about Chris Jones not playing the last game of the regular season because he needed 2.5 sacks to get a $1 million bonus. Like, he hadn't had 2.5 sacks in any game all year long, and people making a big stink about it. Like, well, what's more important, the team or the individual? But at least in football, you can go out there as a team, and you can huddle and say, hey, guys, coach says we're going to take a knee, and everybody's going to like, okay, center's going to snap it, quarterback's going to take a knee, and that's the it's over, you know? Nobody rushes and runs over the quarterback. That's conceding the game is over. That's what happens in football. Happens in college, happens high school, happens in pros. Is this baseball's way of calling it a kneel down? Well, fine, but we're still playing. We're still playing. Whereas in NFL, you take a knee, you're not playing. I mean, it's completely over. You're taking a knee, you're not even making or doing anything active in the game other than taking a snap because you're forced to do so. I'm just tired of hearing the unwritten rules about this. I understand both sides. I understand you're getting beat. I've been on both sides of this in K-18 baseball. And in peewee baseball, and yes, I'm not going to lie to you. If a team was up big, and we had a situation actually where a team had a lot more experience than we did. We were young, and they kept playing their best players and had 6 kids on the bench they wouldn't even put in, and we were getting smoked. We had no pitching left, and they didn't show him much mercy, and I didn't like it. I didn't. But here's the thing. That wasn't pro. Those kids were getting paid millions of dollars and $500,000 to perform. These were kids that weren't being put into the game by their coach because their coach apparently either didn't like them enough to put them in the game, didn't care about their feelings, and didn't care about us either, which is fine. I guess it's still our job technically to stop them. But it's different from that level because these kids are learning. They're at a young age, and there is, I think, a respect and a sportsmanship situation there. And some people may be listening going, wait, how's that any different than what you're talking about? Isn't it your job to stop them? Well, but we're not professionals. Okay, and so our job as a coach in some cases is to protect the kids or to give them opportunity to play. They choose to go out at their own accord. They're not paid to go out. In fact, mom and dad are paying gas to go see them play. And then when you don't put the kid in at all, mom and dad are like, I drove all this way and my kid ain't even playing even though it's a blowout or it's a JV game. My kid can't get in all season long because, and it's JV. Who the heck's going to remember who won a JV game? Who's going to remember your JV record years from now? Isn't it kind of important that you get everybody in during the season, let them all play? Because they're all putting in time and going to practices. And people that have the great stud kids don't care about that very much because their kid isn't involved, so it's not in my backyard type of mentality. Mm-hmm. But I see it. I see it a lot. I feel for kids that go to practice and don't get to play a lot. And, yes, I've been a coach, and there are kids that certainly are not ready to play and play very much. They're just not as talented. They're not. Maybe they don't work as hard. Maybe they do, but they just can't get it. But we always tried in K-18 to put our kids, at least get them in there. We get the second game, 3 innings. We made sure they were at the top of the order. The kids in the second game, the B game as we called it, we always made sure the kids that had not played in game one, they were hitting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the lineup in game two. And yet I see people, they mix in the other kids, but they put them at 8, 9 in the order in the second game. And I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. Why? Nobody's keeping track of the 3-inning B game and how the record is. Okay, so my point is there is a level of sportsmanship. There is a way of getting other guys into the game. And my question to Tony La Russa is, as you very accurately pointed out, if the Twins are conceding the game, why is Yasmin Mercedes, who's one of their top hitters in the game, why isn't he a pinch hit for? You're telling me there's nobody on the bench to go pinch hit for him? I guarantee you there was. Mm-hmm. So based on what John's saying here in a text that he sent me, and John, I understand your points. I'm not really arguing with him at all. What I'm saying is that if we're conceding it's over, then we need to just get off the field and be done with it, or both sides need to acknowledge it. And Tony La Russa, the way to completely avoid that is get your – they took out their starting pitcher way before because they're getting blown out. They didn't even put a pitcher – not even put a Major League Baseball pitcher on the mound in the ninth inning in that game, and you're still sending up who would probably be the rookie of the year right now. You're still sending him to the plate. What do you expect him to do? Give another guy a chance to go up and get a cheap base hit. Maybe a kid that's on the bench that hasn't made his major debut or has never had a base hit. You know, yeah, it might be – you might say, well, that's kind of cheap to get a hit against a utility player. Hey, a hit's a hit. Wouldn't that be a cool little thrill? And the other team would be like, well, they put in a sub. We put in a sub. So there usually has to be working – there has to be a working situation between both sides. And my question – I have lots of questions for Tony La Russa. One, was the take sign on when the count was 0-0? Was the take sign on at 1-0? Was it on at 2-0? Because if he had the green light to hit 0-0 and 1-0 and 2-0, what's the big difference if he has a green light 3-0?
Yeah.
And I don't know that.
I wasn't watching. I don't know how it got to 3-0. Like, was he taking and just sitting there with the bat on his shoulder?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
I didn't.
Maybe he had take signs all the way, and then finally Mercedes like, dude, I've just seen three pitches.
This guy's throwing and, a meatball in the middle of the plate that's 47 miles per hour. I'm going to jack this out of the park.
And he had time to think about, hey, you know what? I'm just going to swing away.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But it does take both sides to make this work. And Tony La Russa, I think, is arguing, well, that's what I was trying to do by having him take. And then he hit the home run, and I don't like it. But I have a hard time blaming the hitter for swinging away, especially a guy that's his first year in the bigs. He's not a veteran. Maybe it'd be a little bit different if, you know, Eric Hosmer goes up there and did something like that, or Salvador Perez. But at the same time, that guy that's pitching, he's being paid to play baseball no matter what position he plays. And I'm a professional, and I'm paid to hit. I'm not paid to come up here and just sit and not try.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sit here and say, well, you know, we're conceding the game's over. Well, then let's just go ahead and go to the restaurant a little bit early. Just call it good. We give up. No mercy. We give up. You know, yeah. If the team did that, what would happen? Oh, that's just Bush League. That's an unwritten rule. You can't quit. Well, we're down 10 runs. We ain't coming back.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to save everybody. There's no need to throw extra pitches here. We're just going to get out. Why take a chance of somebody getting hurt or an umpire even getting hurt? You know, a cross-up between a pitcher and a catcher, or a foul ball comes right back into the umpire and gives him a concussion. Why chance it at all, period?
Yeah.
There's another angle to talk about, too.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go that way, you know, there's all kinds of different ways you can go on that part of it, too. So,
I got another text. This is professional sports. Pitcher's job, get hitters out. Batter's job, to hit. And you can say, well, wait a minute, that guy that came in wasn't a pitcher. Once he got on the mound, he was a pitcher.
He's a pitcher. If they put him as a pitcher, he's a pitcher.
He's
right?
A pitcher.
Like, I don't care if his listed position is second baseman, outfielder, catcher, or designated hitter. If he comes out and is on the mound, he has turned into a pitcher.
Yeah. I guess it depends, once again. And we said it before when we had this conversation about unwritten rules. It once again goes to what you believe in.
Yeah.
The unwritten rules are not rules, okay? Really, at least not in sports and not in baseball, in my opinion. And maybe we're arguing intrinsies and whatever. But they're beliefs. They really are beliefs. And if you think about this here, Tony La Russa's belief is 3-0, you're not swinging when a situation like that. Trevor Bauer's like, my belief is I'm a professional pitcher. I don't care who's on the mound. We're paid to hit. We're paid to pitch. That's his belief. Noah Syndergaard has his belief. Everybody has their belief. People listening to the show right now, their belief might be old school, like, dude, I totally agree with Tony La Russa, and you guys are all wet. And there's other people listening to us going, amen to that. They're paid to play, so just play and quit getting your panties in a bunch when a guy hits a home run. And by the way, people are getting all riled up and thin-skinned when a regular pitcher gives up a home run. Now we're going to really have a big problem because a non-pitcher gives up a home run? And as I'll go back and I'll finish this little discussion, I'll end with this. If it's such a horrible disrespect to the game when a guy's hitting a 3-0 pitch against a guy that is a non-pitcher who comes in the pitch to finish out a game and mop up duty, and that's a mockery of the game and that's disrespectful, what Yasmin Mercedes did, isn't it disrespectful that the Twins put a guy that doesn't even pitch on the mound to be a pitcher in that situation?
Yeah. I mean, it's all how you look at it.
It is. Exactly. It's wherever you believe. Let's see. K-State in focus. It's time for K-State in focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. K-State baseball team is now 29-20 overall, but on the road they have struggled. 3-12 in road games, and they had a series, the Sunflower Showdown, against KU, and it did not go very well. KU won the first game 2-0. They won the second game 10-0 and got no hit. K-State was no hit in a 7-inning no-hitter by a KU pitcher, but they did salvage the final game of the series in Lawrence on Saturday 6-2. So K-State has a 3-game set now at home, where they're really good at home, against TCU, and then the Big 12 baseball championships will begin next Wednesday, a week from today, at Bricktown Ballpark there in Oklahoma City. So K-State baseball team right now 29-20 overall, conference play 8-13, and they're 22-6 at home, but just 3-12 on the road, 4-2 on neutral sites. So they will finish up the home part of their schedule coming up against TCU tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. Tickets available for the games, and the tickets can be as cheap as $10. So, and it's a great facility. Dusty went to a game earlier this year. It's a really nice facility that they have there at Kansas State. And you can go watch 1, 2, 3 games, the whole series. Go when it's nice on Saturday if the weather's nice. Who knows what the case may be with weather right now. But an opportunity, your last opportunity, to see K-State baseball in person at home in Manhattan.
Hopefully you get a nice day like I did, too.
Yeah, you did. You've had a couple nice days to go see some baseball.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. I haven't had a chance to go see – well, I've seen plenty of baseball high school-wise, obviously,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I have not had a chance to go see a professional game of any sort or college either. Our focus on Kansas State athletics today brought to you, as always, by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. The NBA play-in games were last night. The Pacers routed the Hornets 144-117, so they roll, so they stay alive. They are the 9 seed. The Hornets are eliminated. The Celtics behind Jason Tatum's 50 last night. Jason Tatum had 50 points. Russell Westbrook, 20 points, 14 rebounds. Bradley Beal scored points but took a lot of shots to do so. Celtics win at home 118-100. What does it all mean? The Celtics will play the Nets in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. And the Wizards are still alive. The Wizards will now play the Pacers in a winner-take-all to be the 8 seed. And that'll be in Washington, and the loser is done for the season. So the Pacers are facing their second elimination game. They avoided elimination last night with a win over the Hornets. The Wizards lost, but they had a little leeway, obviously. And now it is a do-or-die game to keep your season alive. Pacers at Wizards, and that will be coming up tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on TNT. And then here today is the Western Conference play-in games. Dusty's so excited about his 33-39 Spurs taking on the Grizzlies, who have a much better record. That's at 6:30 tonight on ESPN. The winner of that stays alive. The loser, done. And then the game that everybody's really excited about, now watch it be a blowout, it'll be the Warriors at the Lakers at 9 o'clock tonight. The Lakers, the defending NBA champions, remember, if they lose or the Warriors lose, their season is not over. And with a win, the Lakers, Warriors, whoever wins that game tonight in L.A., will be the number 7 seed, which means they would play the Phoenix Suns in a best-of-7 series in the first round. The loser of the Warriors-Lakers then would play coming up on, is that Friday then, I believe? Yes,
yeah.
On Friday against either, darn it, thing moved on me, the Spurs or the Grizzlies. One thing you do know, Lakers-Warriors loser will host the next game.
Mm-hmm.
Against either the Grizzlies or Spurs. And, of course, the 8 seed would get the number 1 seed, best team in the West this year, the Utah Jazz. I don't know, man. Something tells me all the hype, Lakers, Warriors, we're going to be disappointed. And I think the Lakers are actually going to win fairly comfortably.
Yeah, it's not going to surprise me if that happens like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Curry's going to get so much attention. If you're relying on Andrew Wiggins, the shoulder load, I think you might be in trouble. And the Lakers actually done a pretty decent job on Curry this year defensively. And he's going to get all the attention now. I mean, if Steph Curry can go out, I mean, I'll tell you what, this will just completely add to his legend. If Steph Curry can go out tonight with a team that's clearly not as good as the Lakers talent-wise, if he can go out there tonight and go off for 46 and have 11 threes and win the game, I mean, he's amazing already. I'll be in awe. Mm-hmm. Because he's the one guy you got to at least slow down. You slow him down, then the Lakers should be fine tonight. Like I said, Curry can score 35 tonight, and it's not going to be the end of the world. But I think he's going to need to score 45-plus for them to win. Maybe I'm not giving enough credit to the rest of Curry's teammates, but I just don't see Steph going nuts tonight and the Warriors winning. And if he does score a lot of points, I think he's going to have to shoot a lot of shots, and that means it's a win for the Lakers.
Yeah, he needs to be efficient with it, and then other people need to score as well, right? Yes. Like, even if he scores 45 to 50 points,
he's still going to have to score over 100 to win.
He's got to help out, right? Yeah. And so, but I mean, obviously, if he's efficient like that, then other people are going to have chances too, because they're going to be trying to do something to slow him down and stop him. Right?
Oh, sure.
But on the flip side of that, though, Lakers know that Steph's who they've got too, right? So they can focus on the other guys, make sure that they're not getting easy backdoor looks, things like that, and let Steph have his.
The other thing they can do is make Curry play defense.
Yeah.
And that can wear him down and get him tired. So, Grizzlies, Spurs tonight, 6:30 on ESPN, 9 o'clock, Lakers, Warriors. My oldest son is pretty excited. He said he's going to actually watch an NBA game and that he wants to watch Laker Warriors. So I said, I hope it lives up to the hype. I have a feeling it won't, but I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs yesterday, the Canucks beat the Flames 4-2. The Penguins beat the Islanders 2-1. That series tied at a game apiece. And the Canucks up 1-0 on the Flames. The Lightning are up 2-0 in their best of seven against the Panthers, 3-1. And was the final last night. And Golden Knights of Las Vegas beat the Minnesota Wild in Vegas 3-1 last night. That series tied at 1-1. Game 2 this afternoon at 2:30, it's the Canucks and the Flames. At 5:30, it's the Capitals-Bruins game 3. Predators-Hurricanes game 2 tonight. Jets-Oilers, their first game of their series is tonight. And then the Blues and Avs, the Avs up 1-0 in that best of seven. That's at 9:30 tonight on CNBC. It's just weird, all these different channels. There's hockey games on CNBC, NBC Sports Network, ESPN Plus, but there's nothing on regular network channels. And that tells you why the NHL is forgotten at times, even by me.
Yeah.
Because they have a
bad TV. I think they did actually get a better deal here moving forward after this year. I can't remember what it is, but but this should be the last year that you should see it being all, really, like every game being on a weird channel like that instead of at least one maybe being on a...
Yeah. And we can close with this. Sabrina, how do you pronounce her last name again?
Inescu.
Yeah. You see
so
what
you
she did
make
last
the best
night?
Burger ever?
She became the youngest player in WNBA history to record a triple-double. Just her, what was it, third game, I think? Third or sixth game? Anyway, she hasn't been in the league very long. Anyway, 26 points, 10 rebounds, and 12 assists in a win as the WNBA started their season here very recently. So not a bad game for Sabrina Ionescu. 26 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists, the youngest player in WNBA history to record a triple-double. What's most dumb is that this whole thing with Tony La Russa is news. It's just another way that Americans find ways to focus on stuff that is stupid and a waste of time. However, I enjoyed listening to you talk about it, so I'm kind of a hypocrite.
How we are, right? Like, yeah.
You know what's funny is, you know, we've talked about it before on this show, is that there's a lot of hypocrisy out there, but let's be honest. I mean, let's be honest. Let's be objective. We're all hypocrites.
I mean, everybody has done something in their lifetime that's been hypocritical. I mean, I don't think you can breathe if you haven't.
No, like, we all have some form of hypocrisy in our lives, and we're hypocrites. Like, we can say, don't use the Lord's name in vain, and then we go out and get mad, and we do it. I mean, that's hypocrisy at its finest, just as a small example. Or you can talk about how never give up, work, play to the end, and then you wave the white flag and quit in a Major League Baseball game the other night. You know, were you really trying? I mean, you always tell your guys, you got to try. I mean, there's always hypocrisy, and we all are guilty of it. You know, we'll say one thing and then sometimes do the other. That's just the way humans are, I think, and we're inherently flawed. Nobody's perfect, and and so forth and so on. And I know we've talked about it before. How silly is this? This is news, and how dumb it is. And then we talk about it for 10 minutes. So that's there's hypocrisy ourselves, and we make fun of something going, why is this a story? And then we spend 10 minutes on it. So, but we got to fill the show somehow. So sometimes this useless dribble sometimes can be entertaining, perhaps. And it is interesting. And at least we have stuff to talk about like this time of year. Because a year ago, yeah, we were playing classic old basketball, football, and volleyball matches, which, by the way, some people may say, hey, I'd rather have that now than what you're talking about Tony La Russa, which, you know, to each their own. But perhaps we gave you something to think about today. And what's great is everybody has their opinion. And like I said, the whole you know, unwritten rule baseball thing, I would guess our older audience that is a baseball fan will be leaning towards Tony La Russa's line of thinking. I think people our age and younger are going to be leaning towards, and especially the young people, I think by way more, are going to be siding with the player, saying, hey, you play the game to win. You play whether you're up 9, down 9, you should still try. Whether the guy's never pitched or not, are you still supposed to try? Don't you think he was trying to throw strikes? I mean, get the game over, and don't you think that the batter maybe should try too? Tony La Russa apparently disagrees. So we all have our beliefs. We can at least discuss. We can talk, and we can yell at the radio if we're listening and don't agree. We can nod our head in agreement. We can text and say stuff to the radio host and give us some different angles that other people think. And I've had people send me stuff before. I'm like, you know what? Hadn't thought of that angle. That's a great angle to look at. Maybe we can do that next show. Or sometimes it pops up in the show. And there's sometimes like, ah, we already covered that. You must have tuned in a little bit late to the show. But always open. People, I'm not going to get my number out right now. But people that do have my number, if you want to text and say, hey, did you know this? This is something you could talk about on your show. Or did you know about this local athlete that's doing really well in college? Or you want to get a hold of us here at the station, 545-3220. We're open to listening. Because I think that's one of the biggest flaws that we have as a society today is that we are all about, we know we're right, and we believe we're right, and we don't want to listen to the other side of the story, or as I always say, we have less objectivity in our lives than ever before because of everything that happens in our country. And we see it with our elected officials. Notice I didn't say leaders. Elected officials, and I'm talking at the federal level especially, that all they want to do is point fingers, and they don't want to listen to each other. They're set in their ways, and that's not healthy. Because let me tell you something. In order to run a business successfully, to really maximize the ability of your company and business, to really take it to where it can go, to hit the proverbial ceiling, right? You can't run businesses that way. You can, but it's not going to allow you to be as successful and efficient as you possibly could be. And unfortunately, the higher-ups in D.C. and whatever else don't quite get that. And that's unfortunate. But here's the thing. We, as people, whether we lean left or we lean right or we're in the middle, we can still live our lives. We can voice our opinion without having to worry about somebody doing horrible things, at least you hope so, in this country. In some cases, you can't, and some people can't in certain situations. But the beauty of having a sports talk show or any talk show for that matter is that you can listen and you can agree, you can disagree, you can get riled up, you can get mad, you can laugh, whatever it may be. We have the freedom in this country to do that. Now, there are a few rules, and they are written, by the way, where we can't say certain words that are bad words over the radio. But I tell you what, in order to make this show complete, I am going to take some time and try to find the unwritten rules of radio. Oh, that's right. I can't find them. Have a good day.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.